All right, and welcome to Going Native number 44. My name is Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for the Visual C++ team.
I'm Gabriel Gooseface on the C++ team.
And today we're going to talk to you about what happened in Kona. Kona is the site of the most recent C++ committee meeting, and Gabby was on the ground, and so was our very own Stefan T. Lavawade, mm-hmm. the beloved STL. Yep. And we're going to talk to you guys about what happened in the committee and how things moved forward.
Well, a lot of Mai Tais.
Yeah, a lot of Mai Tais on the beach. All right. This is our Going Native episode on the Kona committee meeting, and we have two of the attendees from my team here. This is Stefan T. Lavawade and Gabriel Dos Reis. And so this is our ongoing series of what happened at the standards body meeting and what does it mean for you, the C++ developer. All right, so I think this time we're going to start with libraries.
Yes.
So let's talk about the new TSs and the progress on the existing TSs at the Kona thing. First of all, what's a TS? What am I talking about?
So TS means technical specification. People who've been in C++ for a while, they may remember TR1, which was technical report 1. They added shared putter. Due to ISO rules, the International Standardization Organization, they changed the name from technical report to technical specification. Same thing. It's an optional bolt-on to an existing standard that either new language features or new library features can sort of get a little time to bake. It's like a preview for a standard, basically.
All right. So let's start with one that was pre-existing, I think. Networks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Networking is a TS. What happened with networking?
That's based on Boost ACO, and they are now...
Asynchronous I.O.?
Asynchronous I.O. library. And that is now being formally created as a technical specification. They're just creating the working draft for it now. And in future meetings, they're going to revise it, polish it up, and then eventually vote it out as an official technical specification.
Okay.
This is sort of the first step on the road to making it published by ISO and then possibly become part of the standard in the future.
Okay, and I think in the similar category, we have file system, right?
And file system is the first TS that went through this process, and it has been officially published. So ISO published it, they put a document number on it, and in fact, we've already implemented it in VS 2015.
Awesome. Okay. And so if people want to actually play with an implementation that we wrote of that, the easiest way is to get the Visual Studio RTM, or do they need Update 1 for that?
It's in RTM. Update 1 will contain significant bug fixes, but RTM does have it working with the header in the experimental subdirectory, with the stuff in the experimental namespace.
Great. And then just file bugs or send a frown if you have things that you would like revised in file system or if you run into interesting feedback.
And we know that Canonical is screwed up. It's been fixed in Update 1. You don't need to tell us again. We know.
Okay. I think there was a new technical specification that was introduced in Kona for the first time, right?
In addition to networking, ranges is also being started as a TS. So they're taking...
Okay, so networking is also new.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. A paper had been presented at previous meetings,
yes.
But this is the first time Herb, the convener, needs to go to ISO and create a work item for it, which is filing some paperwork with the ISO body.
Bureaucracy,
yeah.
Awesome!
Oh, it's awesome. Bureaucracy.
We're all excited.
Yeah, so we're taking... Eric Niebler's ranges paper and now creating a technical specification around it, appointing him as the editor of it. Basically, this means that at future meetings, the standardization committee as a whole will have to approve changes to the ranges TS to be voted in. So it's basically formalizing a little more what goes on in ranges rather than whatever Eric decides.
So in general, this process of technical specification, you get a paper, committee paper, and then at some point, we all vote in committee to turn it into a draft and create work item for it. And from that on, every new change has to be approved by the committee, and it works for all technical specifications.
Right. Same approval process for changes to the standard itself.
Got it. And so what's our status on ranges inside of Visual Studio?
We have not attempted to start implementing it yet. However, the compiler devs are working on improving their support for Expressions Fine so that they can compile with fewer ICEs Eric's Ranges V3 library.
Yeah, but I think they did something for you, for your library.
They've also fixed Expressions Fine to the point where the STL can now use Expressions Fine.
And that is definitely an Update 1.
Yes, that has been shipped or will be shipped in Update 1 very soon.
And I think that's real progress in terms of...
Yeah.
And we are tracking internally our ongoing progress against Ranges V3. It doesn't work today. We care. It will get there.
Yeah.
And if you do want to try that out today, for that one, we'd recommend that you go get GCC or... or Clang and now LLVM and play with it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up, let's talk about the libraries and the guideline support library in particular. Yes. Mm-hmm. How should we think about that in terms of, is it that a TS? Is that...
So what's going to happen here is that we're going to split the proposal that Neil McIntosh wrote into two. One part with blessing from Alisdo Meredith, who used to be a library chair for a while. It's called now SPAN as opposed to ArrayView.
Okay.
The committee was concerned that ArrayView was being used for another type.
Yeah. And that will go directly into C++ 17. And then there is the other part, string span would go into the library fundamental two.
Two is still in progress.
And we'll have big time there. Yeah.
So we're getting spans for sure into C++ 17, but the string span has gone into one of the TSs.
And again, to explain what this is, so we, in September, we announced the C++ core guidelines, which is set of rules we consider what you have to use for good C++ programming, and there are support libraries. So we here would be a collective effort led by Bianca and Herb, folks here at Microsoft Contribute, but you also have contribution from CERN, Axel Neumann, who is the author of Optional, who hopefully is getting his variant into a technical specification, is contributor and a bunch of other folks. Yeah. We're also in contact with Google folks and getting feedback from them. So this is really cross.
And if you want a deeper dive on that, you should probably look at the CDPCon or the GitHub page.
Yes, Bianca's talk, Herb's talk, and of course go to the GitHub.
And we'll get that into the links below if you guys want to learn further about that. Yeah. All right. Whenever we do one of these Kona updates, the question I always get is, what about modules? Hey, Gabby, what about modules?
Well, modules got a fantastic milestone, which was that the Evolution Working Group voted to get the paper, the design paper I had, and the wording I had forwarded to CORE for review.
And CORE then, Working Group.
The CORE Working Group for review for inclusion in modules on technical specification. Right. So this is something I'll be working on in the next
Who's the editor for that one?
We haven't named the editor, but usually it is the guy who is making proposals, so most likely me.
Okay, all right.
Poor guy.
All right.
So what's going to happen is I'll have an update. There's a lot of reviews at in Kona. I'm going to make a revised paper, then we will have a midterm review with the CORE working group online, and then get new document, and hopefully we'll be in good shape for Jacksonville and take action.
Okay, great. So what would you say is the key open issue right now on the various and sundry modules open issues list? Are there any key issues that you want to talk
about? So, one stance that the module proposal took was it will not be possible to export macros out of modules. And the community is still exploring whether that is feasible at scale. I believe it is, but we need more work. So the Clang folks, specifically Chandler, say they would contribute some changes. So Richard Smith would write a paper
He's a Clang dev.
Yeah, he's the guy behind the Clang module effort for C++, right?
It was the implementation.
That's right. And so he understands that the right thing to do is just not let macros out of modules, but he is also concerned about some code there with macro interfaces.
Okay, so it's do the macros is one of the key issues.
And that is separated from the core proposals. The core proposal is going through
the technical language and syntax
The language, syntax, and semantics. Okay. Then what to do with macros, how to retrofit in whatever form as compatibility, backward compatibility thing.
Okay.
That's phase two, that to continue its own, wrote in Evolution Working Group.
Okay, and we talked about the fact that Clang has an implementation, and what about Visual Studio?
Yeah, Visual Studio actually will have implementation.
The final build of RTM.
Yes, the final builds.
Which will be out around
which is already out, if I understand correctly, or?
No, but it will, maybe by the time the video is out.
Yeah, by the time the video is out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's out. So it has the first experimental implementation we have been using internally. We know there are some bugs that we're already fixing. And 2 or 3 weeks after that update is out, we'll be releasing regular preview. Yeah. So essentially, the command line tools and with help from Stefan, we're making this available for folks to try out. We really welcome your feedback on this, because this is a community effort, not just one particular compiler's implementation. It's right. A community effort.
Okay.
Like, we really need people to try this out on their own code bases, because we're going to test it on our code and like boost and stuff.
Yes.
But we can't possibly test every possible C++ program. So that sort of thing, yeah. It really matters early mm-hmm. on yes. in the development of a feature like modules. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, await.
So, await. So something quite interesting happened. We made progress in Kona. Almost everything we've talked about in previous episodes, Gore's presentations, went through. The only change...
Color the barn?
Significant change is we call this thing bike shedding, and we like to do these things in evolution. It's just changing the names of the keywords. So in the proposal, you have await, return, and yields, and those were deemed to be... They were pretty, but we couldn't get them because they were too pretty. So
well, yield is problematic because there's functions in, yeah. even in the standard library.
Yes, yes.
So there's real concerns.
Yeah, so yeah, when I say pretty, I meant yeah. it is so pretty, everybody wants it,
yeah,
everybody uses
it. Yeah, using them.
Yes,
it turns out financial software likes to use that word.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
yield.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes,
of course. Never have
really. So we imaginatively came with co-yield, co-return, and co-await.
And for co-routine, basically.
Yeah, for the co underscores for co-routines. And so this is the only real change that happened. Now everything is in core wordsmithing, and it's good stuff. If you look at Bjarne's list of things he said he wanted for C++ 17, we're doing pretty good on that list, right?
Okay, and so because I'm boring and like to say the same things over and over again, what about Visual Studio's implementation? Where are we with that?
Well, so...
Like, I don't know.
So Visual Studio is shipping, of course, this in Dev 14 Update 1, and it has almost everything there.
Right.
There is this idea of optimizing more of allocation that is in the work, hopefully.
It's like we have some ideas for improving code quality.
Yeah,
quality,
otherwise it is really
it's a
useful,
complete implementation.
Usable. Gore is working on a paper, how coroutines interact with, we talked about a network earlier, and he's going to show how we can actually use coroutines effectively. To write much better, still
Got
efficient.
It.
So this is really good stuff.
Okay, so that one is actually RTM quality in Update 1 RTM, which should be out very soon.
Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
Remind me, is it still with the pre-Kona keywords without the co underscore, and is it guarded by a switch? Like, if I'm a user, I want to begin using
no.
it.
No.
Await is not
no.
guarded by a switch.
Okay, so it's
modules
on my default.
Is guarded by a switch.
Yes. Okay. Got
modules we're treating as yes. it's experimental in the sense of the language, but
yeah.
not in the implementation.
That's right.
Okay, got it. But
yep.
the keywords, are they still pre-Kona? In update one?
Yes,
just due to the timing of when update
so
one
it's,
was locking
it's,
down.
Yeah, okay. So basically it's just timing issue. We were in Kona when...
But we'll get it right.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Customers, they never realize that when we release an update in, you know, so-and-so month, we're actually locking it down like 1 or 2 months before.
Yeah,
so yes, yeah.
That's
there is a real process behind releasing the compiler.
Okay, so let's talk about contracts.
Okay, so what is a contract? Contract is just a way for a programmer to state the intention and expectations of a function and also the guarantee. If you want to know more, look at my talk at CppCon. But briefly, what happened in Kona, we had two long evening sessions, trying to bridge the gap between the views from mostly Bloomberg and the views from Microsoft, Spain, and a couple of other folks, including Google and Facebook. We've made progress much more than we did after Lenexer. After Lenexer, we were tasked to come with a unified proposal. We have courageously volunteered Bjarne to write the common proposal.
That's so selfless of you.
Oh, it's like he doesn't have enough, right? We need to give him more jobs. So he has been very good at this, trying to listen to each side and craft a really nice proposal. We do hope to have the wording in place by Jacksonville. In terms of implementation...
Jacksonville being the next meeting.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
That's at the end of February, beginning of March.
Yes,
got it.
Yeah. 29th, to whatever in March. Yeah, would you expect to have some implementation experience by that time, so that we actually have discussions based on what's real, not just what is imagined?
Got it. All right, we got a couple other things on the list that we wanted to talk about. Removals, things that we took out of the language.
Yeah, so usually people complain that C++ only adds feature, never removes. Well, this is where we prove them wrong.
But it turns out if you try to remove features, people also complain.
Yes.
You just can't make them happy.
Yeah, that's, you don't remove, get complained, remove, don't complain. So what did we remove? Register. Yeah, the register keywords was removed. The name is still reserved, but you can't actually use it in C++ 17 code.
Which is the same thing that happened to export when it was ripped out.
That's right. And then we're using export now in modules.
Yeah, when the community gets their hands on a keyword, they never want to give it up because they're so precious. Operator plus plus on bool.
Yes, that thing is easy. Yes. Operator fine. Plus plus on bool. That thing was deprecated the very first time it was put in the standard.
Okay.
1998.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was deprecated. We're not supposed to do plus plus on your booleans, but for compatibility it was there, and now it is removed. And these two removals are actually coming from Alice de Meredith.
Got it.
I think that's good.
It's interesting to me that very large bureaucracies occasionally make mistakes. Okay. I learned something today. All right. Unified call syntax. Let's start with, what is unified call syntax?
So what is the unified call syntax? There is the original idea is that when you have an operation, let's call it foo. When you say foo of x and y, it shouldn't matter whether foo is a member of x type. So whether you say x dot foo of y or f of x, y, it should be the same. And the concrete example of foo would be swap or would be begin and end. It turns out the library folks discovered this need a long time ago. But what they have been doing is basically duplicating this begin and end. They will put one in member of containers, and then we have one as namespace scope function. And it added that.
The reason why is because it also needs to handle things like built-ins, like arrays.
That's right.
You can't add a member function of a built-in array.
That's right. So just like, with for range, or range four, sorry. The word range
four. That one's special because that has special cases for arrays.
Yeah, but it's the same idea that you want an operation, take begin and end and do it, whether it is implemented as member of free function. Really shouldn't matter. It's just implementation detail. So Bianis and Herb's idea is to say, well, just provide one version and the language will be smart enough to discover it. It turns out that some folks were kind of worried about if you say, let's say x.begin, it will find a global begin. So in Kona, we cut that half out. The one that we retain is if you say begin of x, then it can find x.
It sounds like one way.
Yeah, but it is cut out temporarily. The expectation is that once we get modules, which allows us to control what interfaces are, we will be able to get the other half back. And that's actually good stuff.
I want to cover just a couple more. Operator dot.
So operator dot is just a way for programmers to have what we call smart references, just like we have smart pointers, where you say p dot p arrow member. You can have p be a class or be a real pointer. It shouldn't matter. If you it's a class, you just define operator array.
So it's the same thing for dots.
For dots.
Dots
and there's a class in the standard library that tries to do this reference wrapper, but because of no operator dot,
it's
imperfect simulator.
It's a mess. And when you look at the code, it's goo.
Okay. Structural binding.
Structural binding. So structured binding is basically how do you initialize several variables locally at once when you want to initialize them from in an expression that is of class type or tuple or pair. Basically, let's say you have a map and say insert some key pair into that map. What that returns back to you is a position where it is inserted, if it's very inserted, and a boolean that says that it was actually inserted. But today, the way the library does it is it returns a pair. So you get a pair of boolean and another pair.
it's a pair of iterators.
And the iterator is pointing to another pair.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea is people should just be able to say, table inserts key value, and then you initialize that with position and outcome. article means being.
It allows you to easily return multiple values in a way that actually looks reasonable.
Yeah, the way people do it today is that they will declare, let's say, position, and they will declare inserted is Boolean, and then they will use std::tie to affect to it. What that means is essentially you're going
the
to
tie
have.
The tie function.
Yes, it is std::tie function. What that means is you're going to have either redundant assignment or you uninitialize variable if you worry that you're going to do duplicate work. And that's where you get bug farms.
Right? Got it.
There's another way to write that where you say something like auto p equals result of insert, and then you can say get iterator from p, get bool from p, which is more convenient than C++14 due to get by type. It doesn't come naturally to everybody.
Yeah, so the idea is we want to simplify what programmers write. So today you can have get zero, but...
Well, get by index is really bad. Like, I'm not defending that. But get by type is pretty cool.
Even structured binding is even cooler or more cool, whatever you want to call it. Just look at the reaction from the larger population. It is not fundamental, but it has this appeal. It simplifies code, and I love that.
All right, last topic on the miners list, order of evaluation.
Oh, order of evaluation. So this is, So essentially, we want to make it very simple. If you take you know the example you see in the video, so we want to be able to say, if you say, you have a map, say m bracket 0 equal m dot size. That shouldn't be an interview question, but today it is.
Because
the order of evaluation is not specified.
So it could be zero. Behavior of that.
It's unspecified, not undefined.
Unspecified means something reasonable needs to happen, but the standard doesn't say.
It doesn't say. So you get, in this example, you get 0, 0 or 0, 1. It just doesn't make any sense. And now we're going to define the order for most expressions, including function calls, object notation, so that even standard library functions or facilities like features. It has feature dot then, the chaining actually worked. Today, it's unspecified what actually happens.
Okay, so what's the rule of thumb for what the order of evaluation is?
So the rule of thumb is everything is basically from left to right, except for assignment. Assignment is from right to left, and just because of the natural thing that when you look at code, what people do most often is that you really have some complicated expression on the right-hand side, and then have slightly simpler expression on the left-hand side. And when you want to refactor it, what they do usually is just to evaluate the right-hand side first and then suck that into the right-hand. So that's why it is right to left. So whether these operators are overloaded or not overloaded doesn't matter. It's going to be the same. This is so that when you look at generic code, you don't have to scratch your head, is this built-in? Is it overloaded? I'm going to get function call or something. Yeah. So
got
it's going to be the same.
All right, great. Stefan, are there any other changes in the libraries that you want to call out?
Oh, yeah. They voted in a bunch of actual features into C++17, and we're actually busy implementing them now. We ripped out some old features, not just core stuff like the register keyword, but in the library there were some old aliases for IOStream stuff that were deprecated in 1998. And again, Alistair Meredith wrote a paper to rip that stuff out, and it was approved by the committee.
The remover.
The removal, yes. So now I'm plotting about how to do this in 2015 updates without causing my double boss to scream, oh, you're breaking users. How might I do it, removal optional. So you define a macro and the stuff gets removed. Mm-hmm. We had variable templates for type traits voted in, a feature I designed. Floor, seal, and round for chrono durations proposed by Howard Hinnant, mm-hmm. Who designed the chrono library. A tiny little helper as const. So if you got a function and it takes, it's templated or something, and you have a variable that's modifiable, and you say, boy, I'd really like to give this variable to this function template, but I want to make it const. Now you can pass it to an as const helper. Mm-hmm. It's a simple one-line function, but it's got a little bit of intelligence that it won't let you do things like convert R values to L values, which would be hideously unsafe.
Yeah, don't think this is just const cast. It's more intelligent than that.
Yeah, yeah. We have a variadic lock guard. In fact, this was just implemented by one of our new hires, Billy O'Neill, where if you've got like three mutexes and you want to lock them all, there's an algorithm for that, std::lock, that will do that without deadlocks. But in C++14, there was no standard library support to actually release all of those locks in an RAII manner. And now you can say lock guard, mutex, 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 and that type will do both the locking and the unlocking for you. So a cool little bit of tech.
Automation,
There's addition for type logical operator type traits. So if you've got a whole bunch of type traits And you're like, boy, I would like to do a and of these or of these. There's a very convenient thing that was proposed by Jonathan Wakely. And that's really for metaprogrammers, but when you need it, it will really make your life easier.
And he's a library implementer for GCC.
Yeah, libc++. So basically my counterpart on the GCC side. For the library fundamentals, technical specification, which is, it's already been published version 1, and now they're working on a version 2, very popular feature was voted in to the TSV2 called Randint. And this is what I call baby's first random number generator. You can say Randint from 0 to 20. And it will give you a number in the inclusive, on both ends, range from 0 to 20 without having to worry about a generator object or a distribution object. A very streamlined, simplified interface for novices. Yeah. So to get them to stop writing srand time null and then call rand and say mod n, which just kills me. And logical operator type traits were also voted into the TS, so that can go out sort of immediately. Yeah. And that's moving to a proposed draft technical specification. So it's getting close to being officially published. Yeah.
Okay, so on the language side, we're still doing feature processing. That's there. There are a couple of things that I'm expecting to see movement on at the next meeting. So structure binding, that was generally agreed upon in evolution. We still don't have the wording, so have to work with Herb and Bianca to get the wording. And it's really cool. Even if you can write Git, it's really cool. I personally love it. So what is up? So the next meeting is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, end of February, in the first week of March. I think same time as some
there's
game.
An NCAA basketball
game. Yeah,
thing.
Okay, game going on. So it's going to be fun. Whether the standards committee is going to be more popular than the other game, we'll see. To recap, what we have today in Visual C++ is so update one gets a bunch of stuff that we already talked about. We're going to have a regular release preview, not official release, but preview release of the bits of the compiler we have and the library. We're going to make this available for folks every 2-3 weeks to test. And it's very close to what something that Stefan used to run internally.
Yeah, internally on our mailing list. Yeah. I can package builds and send them out, we have to go through a more involved process to distribute anything externally.
But this, this is very important to establish Visual C++ as a good modern compiler that's actually driving standardization and helping programmers solve real problems. So I think that's it.
I hope that was informative. We will have a bunch of links down below to some support materials and other trip reports for the committee meeting in Kona. And I'd like to encourage you to go out and download Visual Studio 2015 Update 1. At the time that this comes out, we'll certainly have had the RC out, and we may even have RTM ready for you. So go and grab that and play with all of these new features, or grab your favorite compiler, go grab Clang, go grab GCC. We make the language better by providing feedback to the people working on the implementations.
That's right. Thanks, Steve.
All right.